You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh. Welcome to the initial podcast, Midwest Vegan Radio. With your hosts, me, Ryan, and...
me, Dallas.
And our producer, Elliot.
Hello.
Who maybe you can't hear, but that's okay. This is a brand new podcast that we're super excited about doing. We're not sure about how frequently we'll be doing it currently, but hopefully with some regularity. Today, our main topic is going to be ingredients. So how do you become vegan? One of the struggles is knowing what some hidden animal ingredients are. And so that's what I think we're going to talk about now.
Yeah. I think it's easy for us to forget that that was difficult at one time, mm-hmm. or a challenge in some way, because once you get it, it's just second nature.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just whiz through ingredients in the grocery aisle really quickly, and I take that for granted that I can just determine immediately whether or not something's vegan. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that stick out for us, little tips in reading labels, mm-hmm. I think. I would say... the very first thing that I look at, if it doesn't just say plain out vegan on the box somewhere, which often nowadays it does, mm-hmm. there'll be...
either at the beginning of the ingredients list or right at the end.
Yeah. Or, you know, on some bulleted bit.
Yeah. Or right on the front.
Or right on the front. But you can also look right at the nutritional label information. And if there's any cholesterol in there at all, you know immediately that something isn't vegan. Because vegan foods are... cholesterol free,
mm-hmm.
completely. So if there is, but that doesn't mean that everything that says zero cholesterol in it is vegan, because that's not true. There can still be some hidden ickiness inside. So you need to know how to read a label.
So what are some of the ingredients that we should be looking out for?
Well, I mean, it's obvious the milk and eggs and honey stuff, mm-hmm. is generally easy. And, you know, it'll say egg whites or milk or eggs. But there are some other words for these things. Like with eggs, there's something called egg albumin.
A-L-B-U-M-E-N.
And maybe we're saying that wrong. Albumin. Albumin.
Albumin.
Just kind of mumble it. But
watch out for that one.
Yeah, it's gross. It's some kind of, I don't know. I just imagine it being like some kind of runny, slimy thing from inside an eggshell that you don't want to eat.
Yuck.
And then whey.
Whey is milk, or, well, it's part of milk. And casein, how do you say it?
Well, whey, back to whey for just a second. One easy way to think of it is when you think of Little Miss
Curds
Muppet.
And whey.
Yep, she sat on her tuffet and ate curds and whey.
Which sounds disgusting.
I know. You think of, like, this little frilly girl in a... tuffet. I mean, I imagine that to be, it's probably a footstool or something, but I always imagine it to be like a big mushroom,
yeah,
like in
too.
Alice in Wonderland. So
I always thought of curds and whey before I knew what curds and or whey were. Not that I actually really do, but I always thought of it as like cottage cheese.
Yeah, it probably is cheese. A lot like cottage cheese, but I mean, yeah.
Well, gross. Just don't eat that.
Yeah,
if it says whey, that has to do with milk. So just don't eat it.
Don't eat
it's
it.
Gross.
Casein.
Casein. You say casein. I say casein. Casein. I don't know how it's pronounced.
Casein.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll take your word for it. I thought there was like an extra E in there.
I don't know. I just say casein. But in any event, that one shows up a lot in things that you would expect to be vegan, because usually it's in dairy, like things that are marketed to lactose intolerant people,
mm-hmm.
like soy cheeses or rice cheese or almond cheese, yep. of some kind. Non-dairy cheeses often have casein in them because they help the product melt more.
It's spelled C-A-S-E-I-N.
Yeah. And it's a tricky one. So look out for that, because it's in stuff that you would expect to be vegan and then it isn't. And
yeah, like rice cheese.
What is even the point?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the big ones. The other ones that aren't maybe necessarily so obvious that are still gross are gelatin, which If you don't know what gelatin is by now, but I'm sure you heard about that on the playground as a kid because, ew, it's gross and it's funny to talk about, but it's ground up like hooves and stuff, isn't it?
It's a lot of things. It's hooves and tendons and ligaments and eyeballs and brains and like all of, basically all of the kind of stuff that you don't even really put in hot dogs. And then they put it all into a vat and melt it. They just boil it forever until it kind of turns into this gelatinous stuff, which mm-hmm. is gelatin. It's gross. And it's in Jell-O.
And if you were afraid that, you could never have Jell-O again because Jell-O is so amazing, there is vegan Jell-O. So never fear,
yep.
radio friends.
That's made out of agar, which is a seaweed. And it's good.
Yep.
And then the other thing gelatin is in often are marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also vegan marshmallows, so don't worry about that.
Also delicious.
Yes. And then also in a lot of candies.
Mm-hmm.
Like gelatin.
Like hard candies?
Well, like Starburst has gelatin in it, a lot of gelatin.
But Skittles are vegan, currently?
They are now.
Okay.
They weren't for a long time. And that's one of the cool things about being vegan, too, is that when something becomes vegan that wasn't before, it's like you get to rediscover it and have this amazing reunion with something that you...
with Skittles?
With something that you'd been away from for a long time. So, yeah, Skittles, it was very exciting. I got, like, 4 packages and all the different flavors, the sour stuff, original, tropical, everything. It was really cool. Yeah, Skittles are fine now. And actually... the reason they are fine is because of the hoof and mouth incident in England that happened years ago. Skittles were vegan in England for a long time because they just moved away from putting gelatin in them after that disgusting and tragic event. And so it took a while for the U.S. to catch up, but they did
mm-hmm.
over here, which is great. And I can't wait for Starburst to become vegan. It's going to be awesome.
Are they in England? Are they?
I don't know.
Oh.
I've heard rumors they are. But I haven't been over there to verify with my own eyes.
You haven't taken a trip
I
over to the UK recently?
No, not to do some detective work on Starburst.
Okay.
No. Gelatin, look out for that. Why don't you talk about this one?
Okay. Cochineal, I assume that's how it's spelled, I think, or pronounced. It's C-O-C-H-I-N-E-A-L, I believe. And that is basically, it's a red food coloring, if you will, but what it actually is beetles. It's ground up red beetles, which is really disgusting because most people don't want to eat bugs. And so it's kind of surprising that they actually are using these red beetles as food coloring, but they ground them up and they make them into red food coloring, which is really, really disgusting and not great for the bugs that have to be ground up so that they can become red food coloring. And oh my gosh, looking at pictures of these bugs, ew, they're so gross. Like,
check them out on Wikipedia.
It's so icky.
Well, I mean, okay, so it's gross to eat them. I mean, yeah, some people aren't big fans of bugs, but I don't think that it's nice to grind them up.
No.
You don't have to. Just let them do their bug thing.
Chances are they want to be alive.
Yes. If they have a life to live, I imagine they want to do that. The other word for that same stuff is carmine,
mm-hmm.
which
C-A-R-M-I-N-E.
Yeah. And it's used in food coloring, but also in cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at...
Is cochineal in cosmetics as well? Is it listed that way?
I've seen carmine listed in cosmetics.
Same bug?
I imagine.
Okay.
I don't know. Some kind of bug, some kind of beetle. So that's that one. And then the one that got me even after I had been vegan for like 12 years... I couldn't even believe I was so embarrassed. Bonito.
I don't even know what that is.
I know. I had no idea. But we were, I was at the Asian market where I get a ton of stuff because it's very cheap and there's lots of kind of cool vegan things at Asian markets. And I was going through the aisle and looking at all these different ramen soups that were really cheap. This is before I was working. We were living on one income. And kind of broke. And so I was going to shop for some soup and I got this stuff that was like enough for a family of 4 or 5 or something. And I made up this huge batch of soup and it smelled really funny. And it just did not smell right. And I asked my husband to take a look at the label just to make sure. And he said, Daz, this has bonito in it. And I said, what's that? And he's like, it's fish. Mm-hmm. It's straight up fish. It's not even an animal byproduct. It's just ground up fish. And so bonito or bonito flakes, apparently they can be in a lot of like Asian snack foods, and Ew. Soups and various. Yeah. It's not good. And so,
yeah, bonito is actually a kind of fish.
Yes.
And it is part of the mackerel family.
Yeah. So sad. So don't eat bonito.
Don't. But what you can eat, which you may get questioned on, is cocoa butter is not butter and doesn't have butter in it. Incidentally, buttercream frosting that you can get from the store also happens to be vegan, which is weird because butter and cream aren't things that you typically think of as vegan. Although there is vegan butter and it's amazing, and it's Earth Balance is the only brand.
They call it buttery spread, I think. But
yeah.
No, there's, I think there are other brands, but Earth Balance is widely regarded as the best. People,
it is.
It's a household name among our friends.
It is. And it's easy to bake with and all that good stuff.
So with, well, people talk to me about chocolate, like the cocoa butter thing and chocolate. And there are a lot of people are just still amazed that I will offer them vegan chocolate, you know, or like say, hey, do you want some cookies? And they'll say, oh, are these carob? And I'm like, no, they're chocolate. And they said, oh, I thought you couldn't have chocolate as a vegan. I'm like,
No, just not milk chocolate.
Cocoa comes from a bean.
Yeah. Beans technically in the plant family.
Yes.
Which is an excellent segue into what you can eat as a vegan, but people will question you on. Peanut butter. Peanuts are not animals. So you can definitely eat those. My favorite that one of my family members informed me that I could no longer eat was potatoes, which was really interesting to me because in the animal, mineral, vegetable categories, I do believe, and I could be wrong, but potatoes I'm pretty sure fall under the vegetable category, not animals. And so I think that potatoes are okay to eat. I don't think that they're not animals, right?
I can assure you it's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for making sure that was okay.
Even finger potatoes.
Finger potatoes?
Yeah.
Those aren't human fingers.
No.
Turned into potato. Okay, good. Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
That's good.
Because I was really worried.
They're super fun, too. And bread.
Oh, yeah, bread.
A lot of people just say, oh, I could never be vegan. I could never give up bread. Which, I get it. You know, I get it. But you can just say, okay, well, bread has ingredients, and you can make bread from vegan ingredients. You can make it from not vegan ingredients, but just eat the bread that's vegan.
Or you can buy vegan bread, because a lot of bread is vegan. The Cub Foods white bread is vegan, which I'm not suggesting for health reasons that you eat white bread, but it's vegan nonetheless and cheap.
Well, I don't know. I heard, and I don't know, I haven't verified this. I haven't gone to the plant or anything. But we should do some research on this and get back to people on it. Because I heard that there's some ingredient in that bread that's really squishy, that cheap, cheap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That the reason that it is squishy is because it has some kind of hair in it.
Ew!
I know. It's disgusting. And I can't say for sure that that is, you know, absolutely true. But I was told that by another vegan and I thought, okay, well, I never buy that stuff anyway, so...
Me either.
I'm not going to worry about it, but we should do a little research onto that and figure that out because I can imagine, I mean, they put so many crazy, icky things into food that I can totally imagine that that would be the case. Like that one of those chemicals in there is actually just a code word for hair.
Yuck. Who knew you had to look out for hair?
We spend so much time like trying to get fullness and bounce into our hair when it's alive, but.
Yeah. Well, hair's not really alive.
Maybe it's. Well, yeah. Oh, I suppose you're right. But when we're alive, but they could put it into bread to make bread.
Mmm, hair bread.
I know. It's icky.
Maybe we'll have to test that. One other thing I wanted to mention about ingredients is that as an omnivore or as a vegan, you have staples, your go-to foods that you just normally get that always end up on your grocery list. And when you're making the transition to a vegan diet, you find the same staples that you will get. And so you get comfortable with ingredients and it comes really easily after a very short period of time that you just, you know, I know this brand is vegan and this is what I'm getting. But every now and again, it doesn't hurt to check if you're getting something different than you're used to. I typically shop at Whole Foods because it's closest to me, albeit markedly more expensive than other grocers in my area. And I normally get taco seasoning packets from Whole Foods, which happen to be vegan as well they should be. But not so long ago, I took a trip to Costco and we decided to get a very large tub of taco seasoning, and then found out after looking at it that it has whey in it, which we thought, you know, we weren't expecting that, because why would taco seasoning, if we purchase it all the time, why would it suddenly have whey in it? But this particular brand at Costco did. So if you're getting something kind of outside of what you normally purchase, your normal staples, you're still going to want to double check, because surprise, there's milk in taco seasoning for no apparent flipping reason.
You know, that happened to me recently, but I bought, so it was the same brand. I was buying Ecover dish soap, and I decided I wanted to try a different scent. You know, like, oh, instead of grapefruit, I want to get lavender or whatever it was. And so I bought dish soap, not really thinking about it, brought home. I can't, my husband is so good at catching me when I buy something not vegan, because he's like, Dallas, there's whey in the dish soap.
What?
I know. It was nuts. And I, you know, I went over and I'm like, why are they putting milk in dish soap? This makes no sense at all. So I trekked it back down to, and I got it at Whole Foods and I returned it and they asked me why. And I said, well, because there's milk in this dish soap and I don't want to have milk in my dish soap. And they couldn't believe it either. They're like, wow, this is really weird. So, sometimes like don't feel bad like you're a failure if you have, and don't freak out if you read dish soap and see whey in it, because that's not normal. You're not going to have to like use, I don't know, sand to get your dishes clean, but,
it happens to all of us.
It does.
And you know, that's a good thing to point out too. You know, when you're going to restaurants or when you're eating food that other people are prepared, ultimately you are at their mercy, and it happens. You know, I was early on when I was vegan, I went to a local restaurant. I went to Max Industrial Sports Bar and they had veggie burgers on their menu and I was starving. And I assumed, and this was way before I knew that there was plenty of brands of veggie burgers that weren't vegan, which seems very strange to me. But I asked her what brand they were after I had started eating it. And she informed me that it was Morningstar. And when I went home, I checked and turns out they weren't vegan. But it just happens, you know, and I wouldn't have known at that time, even if I would have asked her what brand ahead of time, I wouldn't have known that they weren't vegan. It happens to everybody and you do the best you can. It's not about being perfect. It's just about causing as little pain as possible.
It's about causing as much pain for your server as possible as you ask them a million questions. No, it's, yeah, that's good.
And one more thing about reading ingredient lists. One really easy thing to do if you're relatively confident that you know what the ingredients are, if there's not too many and they're not really weird things that happen to be pesticides or chemicals, is to just look at the very end of the ingredients list. If there is an allergen on there, it will say what it is. So at the very end, it will say contains tree nuts or contains milk or contains soy or contains gluten. Or it will say manufactured in a plant that also processes tree nuts or whatever. So that's a really easy place to tell if something, you know, really quick glance has milk in it or not.
And don't freak out if the vegan product was processed in a plant that also processes dairy. It just, there are not...
The vegan police won't come to get you.
They won't. And not yet, anyway, there are not very many dedicated vegan food manufacturing places. Right. I think Chicago Soy Dairy is the only brand that I know of that has their own dedicated vegan equipment that they produce their products on. And they make a big deal out of it, and I think that's very cool, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
But just because something's processed in a plant that also processes non-vegan food doesn't mean you can't buy it.
Right.
You can.
And same thing with restaurants, you know. It's kind of up to you as an individual how persnickety you want to get about, was this cooked in the same pan that you ever cooked any meat products in? Well, I mean, it could be, and it's ultimately up to you if you want to be that concerned about it. But more likely what you're going to do is scare the people that you're with into thinking that being vegan is difficult. And also your server, if they're uneducated, you'll probably just freak them out more than anything. So, you know, it's kind of up to you where you want to draw that line. I wouldn't want to eat fries that were cooked in the same grease as animals. But, you know, it's ultimately up to you where you're going to draw that line.
Yeah.
Because you also want to consider, are you making it seem more difficult than it is? I worked for a woman once who was having a party, and I said early on again, I'll bring my own wine because your wine probably isn't vegan. And her response was, well, if wine isn't vegan, I could never be vegan. Well, there are plenty of vegan wines, but that just shows that when you aren't careful about what you say, not that you shouldn't purchase vegan wines and not get, you know, you should definitely not get wines that aren't vegan. But you know, your language can really make or break what vegan is, and it can really scare people. You know, I think that there would have been a better way for me to just, you know, I could have brought my own vegan wine instead of making a big stink about it. I could have just brought it and she could have tried it and, you know,
yeah,
noticed that it tasted the same as hers. And, you know, and then I could have said, hey, by the way, this is vegan. And that would have been much less dramatic than her freaking out about wine not being vegan. And so she can never have it again.
You learn as you go.
Yep. It's a process.
Oh, and by the way, just since if you're in the Twin Cities, I lead grocery shopping tours
mm-hmm.
to help people learn how to do, how to shop vegan. And they're about 90 minutes long, and I do them in various co-ops and grocery stores around town. And I don't know, I've gotten really good feedback from them, and it, you know, you get a chance to ask really direct questions kind of as they come up and try a bunch of products. Usually the grocery stores will send samples home and that sort of thing, or give a gift certificate for $5 or something so that people can pick something out that they want to try, which is really cool. So, and we'll be talking about an opportunity for people to come do a lot of food sampling, later on. At the end, we're going to be talking about, events that are coming up. So stay tuned for that one. But, Elliot went on one of those food guided shopping tours. What did you think, Elliot?
It was awesome. It was very helpful to, like you said, you could have your direct questions answered.
And I think a lot of people don't know, really, there is a vegan equivalent to everything. And I hate the term faux, like faux meats or whatever, or fake meats, because we're not eating fake food. It's not made out of cardboard, or, you know, we're not pretending to
eat. It's not imaginary.
Right. So I just prefer to say, you know, like, vegan meat or vegan cheese instead, just because it drives me bonkers. It's not fake food. It's legitimately good food. But I think that a lot of people don't realize that everything you could possibly want to eat, there is a vegan version of. If you want sour cream, there's vegan sour cream. There's vegan marshmallows. There's vegan caviar, which I've never had, but, and I don't necessarily want to try because fish eggs never appealed to me even before I was vegan. But there are certainly lots of options. You can find just about anything in a vegan version. It's just a matter of knowing where to look and,
yeah, and finding it. I'm sure we'll do an episode on that.
Yep.
I think that'll be good. So should we go on?
Yeah.
Okay. So one feature that we're going to have is we're going to do like product reviews, or basically our opinions about various products. And since we don't have a brand name product to talk about today, but we did just kind of in the vein of ingredients, we wanted to talk about one product, one ingredient, one food item that we think is awesome across the board, regardless of whatever brand it is you're getting, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that is nutritional yeast, which...
Sounds scary.
It sounds scary, and it sounds like, why would anybody want to eat that? My brother-in-law told me that vegans really should get better names for their food, because things like nutritional yeast and textured vegetable protein don't really make him feel hungry and want to eat things. But they are so good. So nutritional yeast, it sounds scary, but it actually has some really cute nicknames.
Mm-hmm. We, in the veg community, like to call it nooch. Or I think I like to call it fish food because that's kind of what it looks like. It's a little flakes.
Yeah, the it comes in flakes, and it also comes in a powdered kind of thing. And mm-hmm. when we get the powdered stuff, we call it hippie dust at my house because it is pretty hippie, and it's very much like dust. But it's so good.
Nutritional yeast is one of these things where that you can really get a lot of vitamins when people are like, oh, well, where do you get B12? You know, because they're not getting any fiber, but heaven forbid we don't get B12. But B12 it grows on yeast or it grows on decaying animal flesh. You can get it either way. The yeast is obviously my preference because gross, I don't want to eat anything that's decaying. But it's got a really kind of cheesy, nutty flavor. I put it on salads and pastas, and it's often used in vegan mac and cheeses. My husband put it on fruit once, which was kind of weird, but he said it just kind of tasted a little nutty. It was just an experiment, but.
Well, I don't know this again for certain, but I have a feeling that it is my husband Brandon's secret ingredient in almost everything he makes.
It's very delicious.
You can put it in just about anything.
And it doesn't just have B12. It has about 400 nutrients in it and vitamins. It's pretty amazing. It's a really good, I guess, superfood for.
Yeah, it is. Although I'm looking at this canister that came out of Ryan's cupboard, and it's the Whole Foods canister. And I'm looking at the directions, and it says to take 2 rounded tablespoons with water.
Don't ever do that. That would be so disgusting.
And I'm just thinking, why would you ever do that when the stuff is amazing? And I'm thinking, I would never want to mix this up with water and choke it down. Like, ew.
Maybe it tastes like a broth.
Maybe, but even so, I mean, I'd much rather eat it in any number of ways as opposed to that. So
yeah, don't follow the directions.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. Just kind of shake it on stuff and... Yeah. You know, it's great on popcorn.
Oh, yes. My secret popcorn ingredients. So my husband happens to...
we're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners. Is affiliated with the one confirmed movie theater in Minnesota that actually has vegan popcorn. Veg News put out a while ago that a lot of places did have vegan popcorn, but then it turned out that the oil that they cooked it in was not vegan. There was a butter additive.
Huh.
But the theater he's affiliated with, legitimately, I've seen the case, it is not butter. It's, I don't know if it's canola or coconut or whatever.
Probably palm oil, I imagine.
But, so my secret popcorn mixture that I like to sprinkle, because unfortunately at the theaters they've just got this like cheesy powder crap and I don't like that. So I use garlic salt, nutritional yeast, and curry powder, which
Ooh.
Will blow your mind. It's so good. And
I
who cares?
Go to the movies with you.
Yeah, who cares about like the ratio? It doesn't matter. If you like curry a lot, then just put a lot of curry powder in there. If you like nutritional yeast a lot, put a lot of yeast in there or salt.
That sounds so good.
So good.
I have a movie, popcorn movie story as well. Brandon and I went to see a movie once and we had the dusty kind of nutritional yeast that we put over the popcorn. And it's like it poofs up in clouds and everything all around you because it's so light. And so he was eating it. I don't remember what movie we were seeing, but there was some kind of an emotional scene going on. And I look over at him and he's got a tear coming down his cheek. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. You know, Brandon's, you know, really being touched by whatever's going on the screen. And he's like, literally tears are just coming down his face. And I've never seen this before. I was really shocked and kind of amazed and thought, oh, he's so sensitive. And then after the movie got done, he told me that nutritional yeast had gone up his nose and he was trying not to like erupt and coughing and just be really disruptive to everybody in the theater because he'd inhaled something and it went down the wrong pipe. And I was like, oh yeah, well that makes a lot more sense now that I think of it. But so yeah.
And in case we didn't mention it, but I think I did, but it's fun to reiterate things and I really like to repeat myself. Nutritional yeast is not brewer's yeast. So don't get brewer's yeast. I don't know what that is, but I imagine it doesn't taste good. I think that's more for like breads and stuff, isn't it?
I think it is.
Or and brewing?
Maybe.
Hence
I know,
the name.
Like when I make dog biscuits at home, they like to call for brewer's yeast and various dog Okay, recipes,
so
but
you,
it's
we're not making
not.
Dog biscuits. We're making people food. And so, yeah, nutritional yeast, not brewer's yeast. But they are usually located right next to each other in similar containers. So
yeah,
just be
it
careful.
Looks like this might have been on the shelf.
Yep.
For you. A lot of times it will be in the refrigerated section of the bulk department at co-ops.
Okay.
So if you get it in bulk and you can't find it somewhere in an aisle, check out the nutritional or the refrigerated part or just ask.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we go on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another thing to talk about, because something that I didn't value for a long time was the like environmental aspect of veganism. A lot of people, you know, I just thought, oh, animal rights, that's all I've got time for. It's all I can think about. That's enough to take that on. But as I've started to realize lately that, wow, if we don't do more to protect the environment, which basically equals the earth,
mm-hmm.
then where are all these other species going to live? I mean, that's pretty important. So, yeah, I mean, I like trees and I like plants and clean air and clean water and stuff, but mostly I like it that other animals could have those things. So mm-hmm. I've been doing some things to try to be more green. And the thing that I'm working on right now that I'd really love feedback on, if anybody has any stories or tips or ideas about this, at all, or if you want some encouragement or something, I'm trying to give up paper towels, which apparently a lot of people in my world have already done, but nobody talked about it to me because I've just been feeling guilty buying paper towels, even the recycled stuff. But it's really not necessary to have paper towels. The big issue for me is that I've got two dogs, two cats, and they are messy. They puke, they have accidents, and paper towels are just easy and convenient and disposable, which is kind of, you know, you want to throw that stuff out as quickly as possible. So I am switching over to cloths instead. And I'd love to hear how other people have done that or what's worked for you. I just have like hand towels, washcloths, dish towels, that sort of thing. And, you know, the other, I guess a lot of people just rinse them out, like scoop things up, dump them in the toilet and flush them. Use peroxide and laundry detergent when they're cleaning things.
If anybody has,
I just want to know.
If anybody has children and they're using like cloth diapers and stuff like that, they may be able to share
yeah.
with you what they do to get those kinds of things clean if they're not using a service that
yeah.
takes care of that. So Dallas needs help, so please contact
help.
Us.
I really do. And I know, like, this is, it's such a wussy thing to, I mean, rely, I guess, here's me passing judgment mostly on myself, but I'm just, like, we really don't need to use paper towels. And it blows my mind that so many, like, conventional paper towels are made from first generation trees.
Mm-hmm.
Can you even imagine, like, cutting down a healthy tree to make a paper towel that's going to be used once and tossed away and burned or stuck in a landfill? Like, that's just an incredible waste. And all of the energy that it takes to produce them and ship them and the plastic that they're wrapped in and everything else, really just excessive and not necessary. So I'm working on that. I want to hear, if you've been successful, help me out.
And I think in terms of talking about why veganism equals environmentalism and how you can't really call yourself an environmentalist if you're not vegan, I don't think people realize how many resources are used for animal agriculture. A lot of the figures, you'll find different ones, but one of the most recent ones I've seen is that it takes 441 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. And there are places in the world that don't have clean drinking water. And so to use that much water for 1 pound of beef is just disgusting. Not to mention how much water and food these animals have to eat just so that we can eat them. You know, we've got people are starving, but we're growing all of this food, but we're growing the food to feed animals that we're going to eat. And it's just extremely wasteful. The manure and the nitrous and whatever else these animals put off, the gases that they put out by just living and defecating, the gas is really, really not great for the environment. And the deforestation used for either grazing land or to grow crops to feed animals so that we can eat them, it really makes a significant impact on our environment.
The other thing, too, that, you know, the United Nations report that everybody references all the time, we can probably put a link to that somewhere. But it's, if you just Google United Nations vegan report, I'm sure you will come up with a ton of things. It's like the livestock's long shadow or something. In any event, that report essentially said that animal agriculture is responsible for about 40% of global warming, and that's more than all forms of transportation combined. So mm-hmm. we're talking cars, trucks, ships, planes, trains, everything combined. But I also heard that that was recently revised because one thing that they did not take into consideration, it's actually more than 40% because they didn't take into consideration all of the energy needed to produce the antibiotics that are fed to these animals as well. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, all of the, you know, what it takes to keep those plants running and in the water and electricity, and then the shipping of all of those drugs all over the place adds another dimension and, you know, another percentage on top of that 40%.
What I just found from 2010 says that animal agriculture, particularly meat and dairy products, accounts for 70% of global freshwater consumption, 38% of the total land use, and 19% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. So really, if you want to do something to help the environment, forget the paper towels, unless you're already vegan, then do that. Forget about riding your bike to work. Go vegan first.
Yeah, it really should be first. But I had to stop telling myself that just because I am vegan, I'm off the hook for everything else. Mm-hmm. Because, well, I mean, of course, like I'll bring bags to the grocery store and that sort of thing. But I really didn't push myself too hard. And now I'm realizing that really we don't have a lot of time to screw around here. We just don't. And
nope.
So anything that is doable, you know, I'm interested in pushing, you know, pushing myself and stretching a little bit to the next level.
And when she says we're out of time, we really are out of time. There are reports coming out that the oceans are going to be completely fished within the next 50 years. And I mean, if we don't have fish in the ocean, people, or in lakes, like that's a huge, huge part of the ecosystem. That's end of the world type stuff. We're looking at the world ending because of our choices. We have to do something now. And the most important, easiest, quickest thing you can do is to go vegan, not just for the environment, but for your health too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so we should talk a little bit about upcoming events,
because mm-hmm.
we've already kind of alluded to one of them, and there's mm-hmm. another one I'm thinking of. So let's go there.
So we work with the Animal Rights Coalition. Dallas is the Animal Rights Coalition. She's the program director, and I am one of the core volunteers there. And so we do a lot of events with them. And coming up on April 2nd, Saturday, April 2nd, we've got a lot of really cool stuff coming up affiliated with that, specifically at Ethique Nouveau, which is our boutique. It's the awesomest store you will ever shop at. And do you want to give us the address?
We're not biased.
We're not biased at all. No.
But Ethique Nouveau is located at 48th and Grand in South Minneapolis. The address is 317 West 48th Street. And that's Minneapolis. The zip code is 55419. You can also see it on ethiquenouveau.com. And just a little bit about the shop. It's an entirely vegan mm-hmm. store. And all of the, because the shop is owned by the Animal Rights Coalition, which is a nonprofit focusing on animal rights education and advocacy, all of the proceeds from everything, we're not talking like when you go and buy some dish soap and they donate a percentage of the profits to someplace, all of the profits go back to the Animal Rights Coalition, which then helps fund animal advocacy programs locally. So it's really, really cool. And we carry a lot of things, aside from them being vegan, we also carry a lot of things that are fair trade, or they're local, or they're upcycled, or they're organic, or, you know, there's some other cool aspect to the products that are there. So the way that I like to talk about it is that we're doing our best to put an exponent on the good that you can do with $1.
And
when you shop there, you're helping local business and nonprofits and animals and people.
What's so cool about the store is that you will find things there that you won't find anywhere else. And I actually just did all of my shopping for a baby shower that I went to recently, and the gifts that I purchased there were enviable. Everyone was oohing and aahing and wanting to see, you know, what the products were and where I got them. And so I obviously directed them to the Animal Rights Coalition and to Ethique Nouveau. But baby products, books, white chocolate chips, treats, purses, scarves, t-shirts, cookbooks, men's products, men's shaving stuff, lotion, candles, everything you want. It's the cutest boutique you will ever see, and it's so unique. You just can't find the products anywhere else. Well, so, plug for Ethique Nouveau.
Yeah, cool, thanks. So, let's see. We have a bunch of stuff coming up there on April 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And so, April 2nd, we've got three events. We've got something we do regularly called Cupcakes for Their Sake. April 2nd, we have four events, three of which are at the store. One is not at the store, but Cupcakes for Their Sake, which basically means you can come and you can get vegan cupcakes that are delicious.
And freshly made.
And freshly made, and all of the proceeds go to the animals. Mm-hmm. So there is the animals when we're talking about whose sake you're consuming delicious cupcakes for.
Cupcakes for Their Sake.
Yes.
I personally think that this is a regular occurrence, and I think it should be called Cupcakes Rights Coalition, but nobody wants to support me on that, so I'm alone in that, and I call it Cupcakes Rights Coalition instead of Cupcakes for Their Sake, which is what it actually is called.
Yes. So if there's a slip up. So that's happening, and the pre-order time is over, but there's going to be peanut butter cup and mm-hmm. cookie dough, and it's going to be great, so you should come get them. They're $3 each.
And these, they sell out so fast. The store opens at noon, get there, sometimes there's a line, and they just sell out so fast. It's ridiculous.
It's very sad when people show up and they're all gone, but hopefully we've gotten enough, but definitely we want to see you there. The other thing that's happening, too, is that we've got a book signing, a reading and book signing by local author Andrew Quinn, and it's his debut novel. It's called Waterfall Dance, and I've read the book. I think it's well done. I've read a handful of animal rights fiction books. Not really where you're going to find stellar writing mm-hmm. in general. I mean, I applaud, you know, they gave it a good shot for the cause, but really leave writing to the writers. And so Andrew Quinn, he is a writer, but this is his first novel, and the writing is decent. You know, it's decent. It's not so bad that you just want to tear your hair out because it's awful to read. But the whole concept and the storyline, the plot is very creative and really cool. It's without ruining anything for anybody. It's essentially about primate research being done on chimpanzees. There's a woman who's kind of like a Jane Goodall-esque character who works with chimps. There's a liberation involved, which, you know, means that somebody went into the laboratory and rescued the animals, took them out of that dangerous situation, painful situation, and then there ensues a trial. Like, there's a prosecutor and an attorney and a judge, and all this stuff happens in the courtroom. And the kind of key element is that there's a chimpanzee who they're working to get on the stand as an expert witness because of the signing.
It sounds awesome.
It's a very, very cool way to look at it. And if it were real, I'd be so excited. So, but yes, you should come and,
so he'll be signing copies. He'll be reading from the book, and you can purchase them at Ethique Nouveau.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that,
we have a clothing swap, so you can feel free to bring any clothing that you are not interested in wearing anymore and swap it for clothes that you are interested in, easier and freer than going to, you know, the Goodwill or whatever. And it's,
some people buy new clothes, I've heard.
People
buy do new that. Clothes.
That's
but,
right.
But
this is free, so you bring clothes and you can just swap them out and get something
cool
new.
And meet cool people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that
a lot of what we do is to help build community and introduce new people to people that have already been around. And
yeah. I mean, again, this is another thing to help try to bring the environmental aspect into it. Let's not, you know, buy more things, consume mm-hmm. more things, create more things when it might just work out that if you're, you know, tired of something, you can swap it out for something that you'd be excited about.
And the clothing that isn't swapped, that people aren't interested in any longer, are being donated. One of our volunteers is taking them to, where are they?
They're taking them to Animal Ark Thrift Store, and Animal Ark is Minnesota's only no-kill shelter. So it's an animal shelter where animals are not euthanized because there's not space, or that they're considered to be unadoptable. They're only put down if they're like really sick and in pain. So Animal Ark has a thrift store that they run to help generate revenue for their animal rescue efforts. And so we have a volunteer who's going to be bringing anything that isn't taken home by attendees over to that thrift store to help raise funds for those animals, which is cool. The other thing, too, is that we're encouraging people to go ahead and bring anything, any clothing or shoes or belts or accessories that you have that are not vegan. They're not going to be included in the swap, but they can be brought down to the thrift store to be donated to help animals. So feel free to bring that stuff if you're just not sure what to do with it.
And this is not women's only. You can bring men stuff, or you can bring baby stuff. Yep. Everything's welcome.
Purses, shoes, jewelry. Yep. I mean, essentially whatever you can put on your body, carry around, hats.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Hey, it's cool.
If you can put a hat on your body, then bring your hat.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that'll be fun. And then, if you're not totally worn out by those things, which hopefully you wouldn't be, you can take a break in between. The clothing swap is at 3, and the book signing is at 1. And then at 6:30 on April 2nd in the evening, you can trek over to St. Paul and go to a circus demo, which is happening because the Osmond Shrine Circus is coming to town. Boo.
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 They're coming, and they have animals in their circus, and that's not nice. That's wrong and mean.
It's mean.
It's very mean. So we're going to have a protest outside, and if the state fairgrounds, Google it. It's on Snelling in St. Paul.
Let's change that from protest to peaceful demonstration.
Oh, sure.
Because a lot of people think that protests are scary, and they're really not. They're not at all.
They're not scary, and you're not going to have tear gas thrown at you.
No.
No rubber bullets.
Nothing that's going to get you on the news.
Nothing like that. Yeah, unfortunately. Nothing that is going to...
Because Dallas wants to be tear gassed, apparently.
No, it's really not fun. It would be nice to get a little bit more attention for it. But it's important to be there, essentially just to show that no matter where the circus goes, they're not going to be able to get away with this without being held accountable and exposed for what it is that they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great to see that over the years, the numbers have fallen. And we think that that has a lot to do with the fact that we're out there educating people, letting them know that this is happening, that animal abuse is happening. So we'll be there. We hope you will be too. And that is, let's see, State Fairgrounds. People are meeting at 6:30 at the bus stop across from the State Fairgrounds on Snelling Avenue. So just look for the people with the signs.
And there should be signs, right? So you don't need to.
Yeah, you don't have to bring your own.
If you want to.
Get in the spirit and do an arts and crafts thing. Go for it. So that is April 2nd. And then April 3rd, because we're so busy.
We are.
In the Twin Cities. We do so much for animals around here. April 3rd on Sunday, there is a Petland demo. Peaceful demonstration as well. Well, demo is short for demonstration. Which is the word I prefer. But so Petland, that's in St. Paul. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Ryan?
Yeah, the Petland demos are actually, it's sad that we have to do them still, but they're actually really fun. Petland, I had never heard of before I started working with the Animal Rights Coalition. They are a pet store, just like PetSmart or Petco, but instead of doing things like adoption days for animals, they actually sell animals there from puppy mills and kitty mills and gerbil mills, rabbit mills, ferret mills. All animals can come from mills, essentially, all companion animals. And Petland is profiting from that, which is really disgusting. And there are only 2 Petlands in Minnesota, and a lot of them are actually closing. What was the percentage of their stores that have closed recently?
The important thing to mention, too, is that the reason that we're focusing on Petland with this campaign for puppy, sales of animals, I guess, in pet stores, is that it's a part of a national campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're We're the Minnesota Contingency. You can find us on Facebook at Minnesotans Exposing Petland.
Yep.
And we'd love to have you like our page or be a fan or whatever it is that people do on Facebook now. But so this campaign has been happening for 3 years. And in 3 years, 30% of the Petland stores nationally have closed, which is awesome.
Well, it's not awesome.
Well, you're right.
What we have tried working with them. We don't want them to close. We don't want people to lose their jobs. We just want them to stop profiting from animals. And certainly they could do something just like Petco and PetSmart do and other, you know, pet food stores, and they could do adoption days. They don't have to sell from puppy mills. So it's not that we're trying to get them to close. That sounds malicious. We're trying to get them to stop using puppy mills, but unfortunately they won't, and they're not. And that's part of Petlands are franchises, and it's part of their business model to buy from puppy mills.
I guess, well, one, just to be clear, we also do not encourage people to shop at Petco or PetSmart because they also sell animals, just not dogs and cats.
Right.
But I guess the reason that I say it's awesome is because it means that people are active, and it means that Petland, the corporation, like the incorporated bigwigs, are getting a strong message that people do not support this business model.
Mm-hmm.
So it essentially, it pushes them into a corner a little bit because it's like we're saying, hey, look, you know, as long as you continue to do this, we're going to be out here educating the public about what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're unwilling to change, people are not going to be supportive of your business model. We're not going to be spending money here. So that's what I meant when I'm saying it's awesome, like that it's having an impact.
Right.
Ideally, they would just change their business model and be pro animal and help place, you know, help facilitate adoptions as opposed to selling animals for profit. We're not there yet, but I hope that we will get there eventually.
The demonstration this coming weekend on Sunday, April 3rd is from 12:30 to 2. The times vary. And we do have permits to be there. So it's all on the up and up. And we do these usually once or twice a month at the St. Paul location. They also happen at the Shakopee location. But that one isn't the most current one. And they really are a lot of fun. Again, if you haven't been to a demonstration, especially a Petland one, it's just a lot of standing around talking to your friends. People drive by and they honk and it's exciting and we all scream, but it's not scary at all. And we do it no matter what the weather is. We were out there in January and February when it was 30 below and we froze our little butts off, but that's nothing compared to what the animals are going through. And the weather isn't always that bad.
No, but we do it
no matter what the weather is. We're out there.
Yeah. So you should be out there too with us hanging out. It'll be fun.
Yep.
We hope to see you. And so that's what we've got coming up this weekend. And then we have, this is what we were talking about with Whole Foods and the sampling and the food and everything. We have an event we're really excited about that we're partnering, the Animal Rights Coalition is partnering with Whole Foods in Minneapolis to do an event called Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. So it's very exciting. And that is on April 18th. It's a Monday night. So basically we're going to be having food sampling. There'll be cooking demos. Ryan and I will be there to answer questions that anybody has about veganism. We'll have recipes. It's just going to be a really good time.
And so
we hope
fun.
We hope that you come down and maybe bring a friend that is curious about veganism. You want to learn a little bit more about it. Plan to do your grocery shopping that night. Pick up some new products that you haven't tried before. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we hope to see you there. It's in the evening.
We should mention the time on their website, we do not believe is correct. It says 4:30 to 6:30, but we believe it's...
I believe that that's not correct and that it's 6:30 to 8:30 or 5:30 to something. But we'll get that sorted out. But in the meantime, just save the date for April 18th and plan to come down and hang out with us.
And meet us, because we're celebrities. Now, because we have a radio show. So meet some local vegan celebs.
Exactly. I think we've filled up your calendar. for a bit right now. I mean, well, the only other thing I'm going to plug in now because it's such a big deal is the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale is coming up in April as well. And so this is the Minneapolis take on the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale. Like, we're representing.
Representing 612.
Yep. For the Vegan Bake Sale. And
these happen all over the world.
I know. It's so cool. And so people were looking for bakers. So if you want to bake and donate stuff to help raise money for animal advocacy programs in the Twin Cities, that would be awesome.
I'm making frosting sandwiches.
Ooh.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Wow.
It's mind-blowing. All right. I gave one to a friend the other day, and she said, why would anyone ever make cake ever again when you can just put frosting on a piece of bread?
Wow.
Yep.
I've got to try that. I'm thinking about chocolate chip cookies, but...
A good standby.
I know.
Everyone likes chocolate chip cookies.
I never bake, so I think I have to go with something really simple and traditional, because I just cannot get fancy. So that's happening. It's on April 24th, which... We know it's Easter. We know.
Big deal.
But, you know, if you need a way to kind of unwind, or you want to pick something up before you go to an event.
Or a break from your family.
Or, you know, a break or an excuse, anything.
Or you're an atheist and you don't celebrate Easter.
Yeah.
Or any other religion that doesn't celebrate Christian Easter.
Yes. I'm excited about it one way or another. It's going to be great. So come on down and hang out with us. That's going to be at Athique Nouveau. Starts at 1. Goes till maybe 5. So be there for that if you can. Also, if you can't be there on the day but you still want to bake, totally cool to drop stuff off beforehand. You can send any inquiries you might have about baking and donating baked goods to mnveganbakesale@gmail.com. Again, that's mnveganbakesale@gmail.com. Sarah and Melissa are the organizers this year, and they would love to hear from you. So,
and they're also amazing bakers themselves.
They are.
They're pretty stellar. We've got some really, really awesome vegan cookers. Not vegan cookers. They don't cook vegans. They cook vegan food and bake vegan food. We're lucky.
Minnesota, we are definitely so lucky. I know. We've got awesome people here.
It could be worse. And it's not. We've got a lot of great restaurants here.
We'll talk about all that later.
And the Twin Stadium has vegan hot dogs and veggie burgers. Our new Twin Stadium.
We should do it on location there.
We should. Live from our location.
I think we've been talking a long time.
We probably have. You're probably so sick of hearing us. And maybe we'll do a contest to see if you can pick out which one of our voices is which at some point. We have started, although there's minimal content, a blogspot called Midwest Vegan Radio. So it's midwestveganradio.blogspot.com, where for the time being you'll be able to get a little bit more information, possibly purchase products through Amazon, and to be able to listen to episodes on there or contact us through the website.
We'll make it what we make it.
We'll make it what we make it.
And what you make it.
And you can just deal with it and complain or tell us we're awesome. Either way. But be nice if you're going to complain, because remember, we are people. We're not just voices in the ether. So be nice to us.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're done.
All right. Midwest Vegan Radio signing off.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.